We'll continue with using the ashram's prayer tonight. So if you'd repeat after me. This day is almost gone.
This day is almost gone.
When night and morning meet,
when night and morning meet,
it will be only an unalterable memory. So let no unkind word,
so let no unkind word,
and careless doubting thought,
and careless doubting thought,
no guilty secret,
no guilty secret,
no neglected duty,
no neglected duty,
no wisp of jealous fog,
no wisp of jealous fog,
becloud its passing,
becloud its passing.
Now in token,
now, in
of our deep and abiding love,
our deep and abiding love,
and really drink this in. You don't have to repeat that. We would lay aside,
we would lay aside
all disturbing thoughts,
all disturbing thoughts,
all misunderstandings,
all misunderstandings,
all unworthiness,
all unworthiness.
If things have gone wrong,
if things have gone wrong,
let none of us lift an accusing finger.
Let none of us lift an accusing finger.
Who is to blame is not important.
Who is to blame is not important.
Only how do we set the situation right?
Only how do we set the situation right?
And so, serving and being served,
serving and being served,
loving and being loved,
loving and being loved,
we shall make this a peaceful haven,
we shall make this a peaceful haven,
where we, the children of God,
where we, the children of God,
shall live harmoniously,
shall live harmoniously,
joyfully singing his name and glories,
joyfully singing his name and glories,
till we merge our little selves,
till we merge our little selves,
in his eternal being and existence.
In his eternal being and existence.
Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. We'll have a little bit of Ram Nam for those who have just joined us. And let's go ahead and we can sing along with this if you'd like. I think I'd like to say Mother's Prayer tonight too. My mother would like me to say Mother's Prayer tonight. Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Beloved Jesus Christ, Blessed Master,
Dearest Mother,
Beloved David,
Beloved David,
saints and sages of all religions, I bow to all of you. Free my life from all obstacles. And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development. Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness. Peace. Bliss. Amen. It's too good to be missed. Well, tonight we are in chapter 27. It's in Roman numerals, so it always takes me a tiny bit of time to do the math. Mathura, Gokul, and Vrindavan. Mathura is the birthplace of the great incarnation, Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna is the veritable personification of love itself. His imperishable name lives still green and in all its pristine glory in the minds of all the people in India. The Bhagavad Gita stands unrivaled in the depth of its philosophy, pointing out the one goal which all human endeavor should aim at. As the ultimate accomplishment of all life and existence, Mathura still remembers vividly the child Krishna and his charmed life, which is proved by the variety of mandirs in the place in which he is worshipped daily in the form of gaudily dressed idols. On the day of Ram Dass's arrival at Mathura, Ram Kankur being laid up with fever, Ram Dass, before he came in touch with the new Sadhu Ram, went to the city in quest of the holy river Jamuna. Ram, who was ever ready to offer help to him, now brought him in touch with a Brahmin going toward the river. He came of his own accord toward him and proposed to lead him to the river. Having reached the holy Jamuna, Ram Dass first washed his clothes and then descended into the river for a bath. But before doing so, he placed his small lota on one of the stone steps into which he put his spectacles. Finishing bath, he was returning to the spot where he had placed the lota, and was only a moment too late because a monkey coming up carried off the spectacles. Now, without spectacles, he could not see objects at a distance. The Brahmin guide, seeing this, was annoyed. But Ram Dass, unperturbed, said, "It is all Ram's wish," and thought to himself that perhaps Ram meant to restore his failing sight. But the Brahmin could not rest content. He requested two boys standing nearby to run after the monkey for the pair of spectacles. The monkey, meanwhile, was jumping from one turret of the temple to the other, closely followed by a number of other monkeys who thought the first one had something eatable in its grasp. However, in about a quarter of an hour, the boys returned, bringing them the pair of spectacles in a sound condition. It was, after all, a test of Ram on his humble slave. After visiting some temples of Sri Krishna by the kindness of the Brahmin guide, he proceeded next day to Govardhan in the company of a new Sadaram. Govardhan was situated at a distance of 14 miles from Mathura. They reached this place at midday. Here was the famous hill which is said to have been lifted by Sri Krishna and supported on the tip of his little finger to protect the cows and cowherds, his playmates, from the heavy torrent of rain sent down by the angry god Indra. But this hill is fast diminishing and has come down almost to the level of the surrounding land. The stones cut out from the hill have been, for the most part, used in the erection of houses at the place. However, to represent the hill, a piece of rock from it is preserved, enclosed by an iron fence and with a rooftop. Under this rock, pilgrims pour ghee, milk, curds, etc. upon this rock and offer puja. Even from this rock, bits are knocked off by pilgrims and carried as mementos. After securing food at the Dharmashala, Ram Dass and the Sadhu Ram rested for a while in the afternoon. In the evening, both the Sadhu Ram and he were out on the road, going about the town, when they heard from a distance the sound of bhajan. Thither Ram led him and the Sadhu Ram. Shortly after this, they found themselves in a small Ram Mandir, and in front of the images of about a half a dozen saints, were sitting and singing to the accompaniment of cymbals, tambourine, the glorious name of Ram. The words were Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ramo Rama, Hari Hari, Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. This bhajan was sung repeatedly in a variety of tunes, producing in the atmosphere an electric influence full of peace. In this place he remained for nearly 4 hours, fully absorbed in chanting the sound of Ram's name. Next day he and his guide started back from Mathura, and after a short stay there, Ram Dass, who missed the Sadhu Ram, proceeded alone to Gokul, lying at a distance of about 5 miles. Ah, Gokul is the place where Sri Krishna grew up as a child, played his games, and exhibited his extraordinary powers. Here also the blessed Jamuna flows. It was here in this river, perhaps, that Sri Krishna rode and danced on the hood of the venomous serpent Kalaya. After a day's stay, he returned to Mathura, whence he proceeded to Vrindavan, about 6 miles off. Vrindavan is a very delightful place. Here the same Jamuna flows in all of her tameness and purity. There are beautiful natural gardens of nim and other trees on the banks of the river. To sit under their cool shade when the fresh breeze is blowing over the place from the bosom of Mother Jamuna is to enjoy heaven itself. He was charmed with the place and stayed on the banks of the river for a fortnight, made of dry sand his bed and seat for the night, and the shade of the trees a little above his resting place for the day. Moonlit nights here were all bewitching. The very air seemed to be charged with the presence of that love incarnate Sri Krishna, and when soft breezes were blowing, they seemed to be carrying into Ram Dass's ears the maiden sound of Sri Krishna's flute and the silvery sound of the tiny tinkling bells of his blessed dancing feet. Now and again a deep, soft, and resonant voice would travel in the air, Radha Shama, Radha Shama. Ram Dass lived there in a state of complete ecstasy and rapture. Days passed by unconsciously. The whole stay seemed to be one long-drawn, sweet, and pleasant dream. At Vrindavan, he visited many Krishna mandirs, of which the Ranganath Mandir is a huge and picturesque structure. It resembles a fortress enclosed by high, massive walls. The gateway and interior building and roofs are all made of stone, artistically carved. The command came at last from Ram to quit. Returning to Mathura, he got into a train, directed by the friends of the place. Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. This reminds me of Krishna as a beautiful representation of all the different ways that we can love God. And it starts out with Krishna being born and being a bit of a naughty child, but his mother and all the other women loved him dearly, and they would come and feed him butter and ghee and curd and sweets. And they all wanted to lavish their love on Krishna, the baby. And then as he grew into a young boy, but wasn't yet a teenager, he became great friends with everyone. And everyone was Krishna's best friend and dear soul, dear buddy, bosom buddy. And then as he grew into a teenager and a young man, he became the beloved of all the young maidens. And he even created such a situation that he could be with each one of them in the moonlight, loving them as a divine lover. And each one he gave completely equal attention to, full attention. They were the only person in the world. There was one of the maidens that loved Krishna especially, more than the rest, and her name was Radha. Radha and Krishna, and she became the consort. And how Krishna came to know that she loved him more than all the other maidens was that she was willing to sacrifice herself for him, not just enjoy the love that she received from him, but to give herself completely. And the way that she did that was Krishna said, I have a terrible headache. I have a terrible headache and I need somebody to fix it for me. And all the maidens and the cow herders and the milkmaids were all around, and Krishna said, there's only one way to fix this pain in my head. And they all said, anything we'll do it, whatever we can do to take it away. He said, you must step on my head with your feet, you must press on my head with your feet. And they all knew that to do that was to be damned, because it was such a sacrilege to put one's feet on the God's head, on the great one's head. And Radha said, I will do it, anything for you. And so she became especially blessed by Krishna, because she was willing to be damned, to give up whatever it was she imagined to please the Lord, as Krishna is called. And then Krishna went on to become king and ruler, and was a kind and generous king and ruler, ruling from a sacred place, which is another way to worship God, as God on the throne. And so we can look at all these different ways, and certainly the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is the guru, the charioteer for Arjuna, and they have a teacher or a master and servant relationship. So as we go through our lives, we find different ways to interact with God and to feel close to God and to worship God. And we may have that same relationship with God throughout, or it may change. And Christ, Jesus the Christ, also had many similarities to Krishna. And so we see those same things, the baby Jesus, the teacher, the beloved, the friend. And then finally, the arisen Christ. Papa loved Jesus. So on to chapter Raipur. The train carried him to Raipur. Ram's ways are mysterious, so he did not know why Ram had brought him to Raipur, since it is not a place of pilgrimage. After taking his midday meal in the company of a sadhu, kindly provided by Ram, at the suggestion of the sadhu Ram, they went to a beautiful garden of the place. Here, after bathing in the water of a canal, Ram Dass spread a small deerskin he was carrying with him, presented by a kind friend in Jhansi, of course, supplied by Ram. Under the shade of a tree and laying himself down upon it, had hardly closed his eyes when someone lightly shook him by the shoulder. Opening his eyes, he discovered a young Mohammedan sitting beside him. "Excuse the disturbance, sir," said the young friend in Hindustani. Ram Dass now sat up and inquired what he wanted. "I have come to have a chat with you. I want to know if you have faith in Muhammad," inquired the young friend. "Why not? He is one of the great prophets of God," replied Ram Dass. "Why do you say one of the prophets? Why not the only one?" put in the Muslim friend. "Young brother, although Muhammad is a world teacher, there are others who are as great teachers, for instance, Buddha, Jesus Christ, and Krishna, and in our days, Mahatma Gandhi. If you would try to understand the message they deliver to the world, you will find that in the essentials, they all agree and hold out the same goal to mankind." The words produced a deep impression upon the mind of the Muslim friend. The conversation continued for some time with regard to Ram Dass's experiences, etc. The young friend became very fond of him, so much so that he made up his mind to follow Ram Dass wherever he went. It was a sudden impulse. Ram Dass told him that he should not do so, as he had no orders from Ram to take him with him. After some persuasion, he was induced to give up the idea. But he wanted something from Ram Dass as a memento. Ram Dass told him that he was quite willing to give him anything he had with him, that he only asked for what he wanted, that he had only to ask for what he wanted. The kind friend then asked for the deerskin, and it was at once handed over to him. He said while receiving it, "My object in having this skin is to perform my namaz, i.e. prayers to Allah, sitting upon it, and it will also remind me of you every time." At parting, he asked Ram Dass where he was going next. He replied that Ram intended to take him to Ajmeri. "Well, that is good," said the friend. "When you are there, please do not fail to pay a visit to the famous Muslim shrine, the Khaj Pir. Any Muslim can show you the way to it." These were prophetic words. In due course, he reached Ajmer. It was night. While he was resting in the station along with some other sadhus, who had also arrived by the same train, the railway police objected and asked all of them to go out. He sought a place under a tree in front of the station within the compound. But here again the policeman interfered and drove him away. Knocking about for some time, he saw at last a spot under another tree in a far-off corner of the railway compound. As he had nothing to spread on the floor, he lay himself down on the bare ground. When his nose came in close proximity with the ground, he felt the strong smell of urine. "Oh, Ram, how kind you are. You make your humble slave pass through every kind of experience, all for his good." This condition taught him further still what a folly it was to make much of this perishable body, and it also tended greatly to make him find his true level, which is indeed very, very low. To afford him with the benefit of this experience, O Ram, thou alone appeared as the policeman and brought about this circumstance. Here Ram Dass, the child of Ram, slept soundly till morning in the loving embrace of that all-powerful being, Ram. Can you imagine? see what Swami Muktananda's ideas about Ajmer. Peace of mind can be attained by broadening our vision and making it expansive. Can you imagine going from what we would call converting someone from their religion when they've tried to convert you, the sense of we in our human self may think powerful, we may think enlightened, we may think that we've brought some special light to this person. And then that very night, for God to put us in the most humble of humble places to sleep and to see it as a blessing from God, to keep us on the right path, to keep us non-attached, not attached to our station, not attached to our bodies. We can just try and imagine that for a moment, that idea of complete detachment from judgment, from any sense of what is right and wrong, but only that this moment is put here perfectly for us from God. And for our greatest good, not to punish us, not to trip us up, but for us to grow in the ways that we need to grow. To be able to walk in that knowledge. The absolute is expansiveness. Expansiveness will enable us to see unity in diversity. Becoming expansive, accommodating, will free us from the sense of me and mine. Papa's given something, he has it for a bit, and then when God in another form asks for it, he freely gives it. Knowing that if he's in need of something, God will provide. And being grateful for what God provides, not having any idea what that'll look like. It's so hard for our human minds to comprehend. But as we become faith-filled, as we become surrendered, whatever we have becomes exactly what we need. And that is freedom. Become aware of his presence in the varied manifestations. Periodical solitude is a must to be able to assimilate spiritual truths and to be able to connect him with the manifestation. There were several points where God saw to it that when Papa needed a guide or needed help, there was someone there, and then he was given time alone as well. And in the chapter before, when he spent the 14 days, the fortnight on the bank in ecstasy. He doesn't go into details about that because he's beyond the details. I'm sure someone brought him food, maybe even bathed him, but he was in complete union with God and just knew that 2 weeks had passed. God is our protector. We can experience this in our day-to-day life when we see how, without any initiation from our side, everything is provided. And how often do we trust that that will happen? How often do we just allow the universe and God to provide for us exactly what we need? And how often do we notice when it happens? How often are we too busy to even accept or acknowledge where these things come from? They would like to have people when they were having a difficult time, either feeling depressed or feeling at a loss, feeling down in whatever way, to start doing a gratitude journal. And that at either the beginning or the end of each day to write three things for which you're grateful. And that's a wonderful way to put this into practice, to start to see where God is intervening in our lives. And by writing it down, it really helps us to solidify in the brain that it's happening. You know, we may notice some little miracle, some little joy as we're going through our day. But if we recall it at the end of the night and then we write it down, it helps the brain to see that, yes, indeed, God is acting in our lives, that there is this synchronicity that's happening. There is this being provided for. And that is how we build faith, and that is how we build a path for grace to come in. Our last chapter for tonight. 29, Ajmer. At daybreak, he directed his steps toward the city. When he was going through the thickly populated streets of Ajmer, knowing not where he was being led, he was always engaged in the contemplation of Ram. A tall and stout Mohammedan stopped Ram Dass and made a sign to follow him. He had no choice in such matters. He always thinks that all calls are from Ram. So without any hesitation, he obeyed the Mohammedan's guide, not knowing nor caring to know where the friend was taking him. They walked through the streets for nearly a mile and at last stopped at an arched gate. The friend entered closely, followed by him. After passing through a courtyard, and on descending some flights of steps, and then going through a doorway, a beautiful masjid came into view. Going in here, he found himself in front of a huge silver mandap, or tabuth, domed and carved picturesquely. "This is Khaja Pir," exclaimed the Muslim friend. "Kneel down here and enlist yourself as the chela of Muhammad." At once Ram Dass knelt as bidden by him, in all reverence. Then looking up to the kind friend, he said, "Brother, there is no need of his enlisting himself here as Muhammad's chela, because he has already been a chela of Muhammad. O Ram, O Muhammad, how wonderful are thy ways. In fulfillment of the fervent wish of the young Muslim friend of Raipur, thou hast brought Ram Dass on a visit to the sacred shrine of the Mohammedans. All glory to thee, O Ram, O Muhammad." Leading him out of this holy place, the Muslim friend left him on the main road. Soon after this, he was taken up by a sannyasi named Swami Ram Charanda, a man of pure and tender heart. He became greatly attached to Ram Dass and undertook to look after him in every way. "O Ram, how can thy ignorant slave understand thy ways? He knows only this much: thou art all kindness, all love." First, the Swamiji inquired in the bazaar for an anakestra, and having received the information and got two meal chits, took him there, and after finishing the meals, led him to a rest house where he shared his meager bedding with Ram Dass, in spite of his remonstrations. His kindness to the poor slave of Ram was indeed unbounded. "O Ram, it is thyself who appearest in the form of these guides to lead, feed, and take care of thy slave. Why, for that matter, Ram Dass has now come to look upon all human beings, all creatures, all lives, all things as nothing but the manifestation of the divine Ram, whom he is meditating upon day and night. The Swamiji and he remained in Ajmer for 3 days and then left for Pushkar Raj. Traveling on the hill for about 5 miles, they reached a large natural reservoir of water, on one side of which were erected temples and dharmashalas. The Swamiji and he occupied one of them. Here Ram Dass spent 5 days in bhajan of Sri Ram. Swami Ram Charandra had a stay in Pushkar Raj for some days more. So Ram Dass, at Ram's command, left the place alone for Ajmer, where he secured the company of a sadhu. Prevented from traveling by train, by Ram's will, they walked about 16 miles and then got into a train. The sadhu Ram, who's complaining of indigestion at Ajmer, recovered his health completely by this walk of 16 miles. Receiving on the way very little food, Ram Dass does everything for the best. Ram Dass and Ram are one. At a junction named Mishana, the sadhus met another sannyas, at whose suggestion they accompanied him to a station called Dharmapuri, where alighting, they walked straight to the ashram of a sadhu residing near the mandir of Mahadev. The sadhu gave a hearty welcome to the guests and provided them with accommodations, food, etc. Ram Dass was pressed to remain in that ashram for some days, but as the sadhu Ram could not do so, he left the place after a stay of 2 days and proceeded on his journey. I'll just point out that for most sadhus, they can only stay in each place 3 days. Papa didn't have those kinds of rules that God put on him. A week passed in the ashram when two sannyasis from a neighboring village came there on a visit and took him to their ashram, which was in a jungle. He remained in this jungle, which he found best suited for Ram Bhajan. The sannyasis were very kind to him. In this jungle, there was a small mandir of Narahari. The interior of this mandir was a perfect square, the sides corresponding exactly to Ram Dass's height. Except for 1 or 2 hours of sleep in the night, he was repeating the whole night the glorious mantra of Sri Ram. Here he proved for himself beyond all doubt that Ram protects with the greatest care the devotees who entirely trust and solely depend upon him. The jungle was infested with wild pigs, serpents, scorpions, and other venomous creatures. Every night, a herd of about 20 or 30 wild pigs would surround the mandir, the door of which was always open. The wild animals would come to dig out roots and their snouts from the marshy land surrounding the mandir, for these roots were their food. Ram Dass was freely going out in the night when they were about, but by Ram's grace, they never harmed him. The villagers who were coming there during the day would warn him of the ferocious nature of these wild beasts, but complete trust in Ram means full protection and no fear. Moreover, day and night, the mandir was freely visited by the long black serpents, none of which, however, molested him. Again, every morning when he lifted up the gunny or sack, pieces spread by him, by the kind sannyasi as asana, or seat, which Ram Dass would use also for a bed at night, he would discover beneath it a number of reddish-yellow scorpions, but none of these stung him. O Ram, thy loving arm is ever ready to protect the humble slave Who could harm him? Thou art, O Ram, everywhere, and all these creatures, the whole universe, and all in all, it is thy own manifestation. O Ram, all glory to thee. Ram Dass, by Ram's command, remained in this jungle for about a month and a half. The afternoons were mostly spent in the society of cowherd boys who would come to this forest for grazing cattle. They would play upon flutes and give him the pleasure of listening to their sweet music. These boys appeared to him as so many cheerful, active little Krishnas. By Ram's grace, the stay there proved altogether a most delightful one. On one occasion, the kind sannyasi friend took him on a visit to a village several stations away from the Dharmapuri, the name of which is Yadavpuri. Here there was a great congregation of sadhus. There were in all about 200 in number. It was a feast of satsang. The beauty of it all was to observe the unstained hospitality of the villagers. Every article of comfort which they possessed was at the disposal of the sadhu. One day Ram's command came to Ram Dass to move on. Accordingly, he left the jungle against the wishes of the sannyasis, who wanted him to remain for some months more. Ram passed him on to the care of a merchant at the railway station, who understood to escort him as far as the merchant traveled. An incident that took place here requires to be related now. So we'll save that for next week. It's a cliffhanger. And it's getting dark in here.
Yeah.
I'm reading by candlelight, even though on Zoom it looks very bright. So I'd like to close with this reading from Papa. I think it's so compelling how Papa writes so innocently and childlike, and clearly is this highly elevated, perfected soul to be able to be doing these things. And so we do have lots of writings by Papa that show more of that spectacular inner consciousness. And so I wanted to read this. This is from the Gospel of Swami Ram Dass. This is a writing of Papa's, or a poem. In the infinite silence of the soul, everything is not. It is beyond the utmost depths of the mind. It is eternal rest, repose, and peace. That's better. It is eternal rest, repose, and peace. The loftiest, the sweetest love stands aghast before that august presence. Even it has no entry into that mysterious realm. What then is mind? What then is love? Mind is movement in darkness. Love is movement in light. But the great truth is beyond both. It transcends thought, name, form, movement, change, time, space, causation, one soul reality, one soul existence, one supreme, colorless, attributeless, unthinkable truth. That's with a capital T. Isn't that beautiful? Mind is movement in darkness. Love is movement in truth. And he asks us to go beyond all of that. And Papa promises that just the name, just Ram Nam, can do that. And I think one of the things I really like about us practicing Ram Nam, chanting Ram Nam together, is that you notice if you're chanting it inwardly or outwardly, it's very difficult to think of anything else. It's very difficult to let the mind wander. And so by chanting Ram Nam, having those experiences, we start to realize just how simple it can be to clean the mind, purify the mind. Haven't asked for comments or questions lately, so anything anybody wants to add or point out from these lessons? We just have 3 more sessions to go of, and then we'll be done with the book. So,
it's just a lovely way to spend a Wednesday evening.
That's what I've been thinking too, Judy. Yeah, many of us know this book very well. So it's really just a meditation on Papa. For those new to it, it's a wonderful introduction to that part of our lineage. The simplicity and joy that Papa brings, it's just wholly miraculous. He makes it seem so possible. Larry, can I call on you to do the closing prayer?
I would be glad to.
Thank you so much. I can't do it from memory, and I don't have enough light to read it.
That happens to me exactly the same way. But I have light, so
yeah.
Please pray with me, O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
Of thy glorious presence.
Of thy glorious presence.
In every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
And surrender myself to thee.
And surrender myself to thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with thee.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
Blessed Spirit, I am he. I'll play short, but a little bit. I'm going to play a little bit more activating Ram Nam. So if you'd like to stay in a more quiet, feel free to go out before I play this one.
Hi, y'all.
Hi, y'all.